You're listening to the HR Happy Hour Show with hosts Steve Bowes and Trish McFarlane. Since 2009, the HR Happy Hour Show has been bringing you thought leaders, workplace and technology experts, academics, and more to take on the most important and interesting topics impacting work, human resources, technology, and the workplace. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net. It's the HR Happy Hour Show. My name's Steve Bowes. With me, of course, Trish McFarlane. Trish, how are you today?
Hello, Mr. Steve Bowes. It is great to be back on the show with you.
It is great to be back on the show with you, too. It's been a little while since we did a show together.
Just a few weeks.
Yeah, you've been busy. I've been busy. But great to be back. It's so great. This is HR Happy Hour 226, and we have a great guest waiting in the wings to come on. This show's going to be all about performance management and goal management. And while that sounds a little bit dull, I actually think it's pretty exciting because so many organizations, big organizations, mid-sized organizations, small organizations, are making fundamental changes to how they go about managing performance. And we're going to talk about that topic today. And I'm excited about that.
I am too. I feel like regardless of where I've traveled in the last 2 months, it's come up at every single venue, every conversation on the phone. It's definitely on people's minds.
Oh, it's all over. I just read in Human Resource Executive Online yesterday a big article about this very same topic. So it's really timely, and I think it's going to be a conversation we'll have. We'll start having the conversation on our show today, and I imagine we'll be talking about this plenty in 2016. But before we get to that, Trish, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you've been up to? You were in Dubai. Tell us about Dubai. That's exciting.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I've been everywhere. I think probably by the time I reached Dubai, it hit me that traveling since September 1st was finally really getting to be a little too much. But no, it was a wonderful trip. It was an opportunity of a lifetime. I couldn't pass it up. So CivilSoft and the team over there, who I love, they invited me to come and be a keynote speaker at the HR Summit in Dubai. And so I opened up the whole event. It was amazing. So if you've any desire to go to Dubai, beautiful city. It was, you know, cold here in St. Louis when I left, and I stepped off the plane into weather in the mid 90s and sunny. Going in the fall, actually, when they have this event in November, is a great time, I guess, in Dubai, because they said normally in the summer you really can't go outside. It's almost too stifling hot. And November, December is really the time to go. So another great reason for anyone to consider going next year. But I will tell you, it was a little nerve-wracking because when I flew over, it was right as the Paris attacks were happening.
Yes.
And so, you know, female business person traveling alone to a place I've never been, you know, I was a little bit on edge. But let me tell you what, when I landed first in Amman, Jordan, and then ultimately in Dubai, I met the most wonderful people. They were so welcoming to me. I was so included. And, you know, I don't even know, there have been events here in the U.S. that I haven't felt so included. So just thank you to all of the people that went to that event, because it's a little bit different from a culture standpoint when you're giving a keynote presentation, or really, I guess, any presentation. You don't get that sort of immediate feedback that we give in the U.S. It's mm-hmm. a little more reserved. And so you're not quite sure how you did, maybe, essentially, when you get off the stage. But over the course of the 3 days that I was at the event, you know, people would come up and talk about what their companies were doing. And I guess my takeaway from the whole experience, and then we'll move on to something else, is just that we're sort of insulated a little bit in the U.S. And regardless of political views or whatnot, sometimes all we see about people in any part of the Middle East is what we see on the news. And my experience was just very different. It couldn't have been better. It couldn't have been more warm and just genuine and sincere. And I've made some friends I know I'll have for life. So, and the other thing is just how similar we are, mm-hmm. Both from what's going on in an HR perspective and just as people. So again, I would encourage anyone to take that trip and be open, and you'll meet some really, really awesome people, and obviously get to see some great technology too. So thanks to CivilSoft for bringing me over.
Yeah, that's great, Trisha. I know you were excited about the trip, and I followed, you know, we talked a little bit when you were there, but absolutely great trip. I'd love to make that trip myself. I've been to Dubai in the past. I worked
Have
in the
you?
Middle, yeah, I worked in the Middle East, as my friends in the 8-Man Rotation will tell you. I constantly remind them, but I did spend some time in the Middle East a number of years ago, and I loved it. It was one of the best experiences I had, professional experiences I had. So I'm excited to perhaps go back myself next year. So great. Well, I'm glad you're back, Trish. Glad you had such a great experience
Thank
out there.
you.
We had a couple other quick notes. You know, I'm going to, Trish, the other two things I had on here to talk about, maybe we'll talk about at the end. So let's go right to our topic, I think, if that's all right with you.
Sure.
We have a great guest waiting in the wings to join the show. I think his first time on the HR Happy Hour show as well. Chris Duggan. Chris Duggan is the CEO and co-founder of BetterWorks, an enterprise goals platform trusted by high-performing companies to engage, empower, and cross-functionally align their workforces. By applying goal science thinking, BetterWorks drives companies to become operationally excellent and provides powerful insights about how work gets done. You can learn more about them at www.betterworks.com. Please welcome Chris Duggan to the show. Chris, how are you?
Hi, I'm great, Steve. Thanks for having me on the show, and hi, Trish.
Hello, welcome to the show.
All right, Chris.
Thank you.
Hey, I gave you that little brief bio. You're a pretty well-known guy, though, for some a lot of other things you've done in career. Why don't you, like, we start off with tell us a little bit more about you yourself, and tell us a little bit more about BetterWorks beyond, you know, what I said in the intro.
Yeah, so I would say Silicon Valley entrepreneur, and I've worked in probably a dozen super high growth companies over the last 15 to 20 years. You know, my last experience was at a company called Badgeville, where I was the CEO and co-founder, and we focused a lot on engagement and behavior and thinking about kind of what motivates people. And more and more, we heard from companies, and mostly medium to large kind of companies, you know, how can we apply, you know, engagement concepts to our workforce? How can we drive more productivity? How do we get more alignment and coordination at scale? And that was really the genesis for the idea of BetterWorks, which we started 2 years ago now. You know, what's funny is, you know, 2 years ago, my co-founder and I went to HR Tech, and we were walking, you know, walking the halls and looking at all the various software applications that were on the floor, and, you know, many of which, you know, have goals, capabilities,
Sure.
and kind of performance management capabilities. And I know we're going to talk a lot about that today. You know, it was quite overwhelming at the time, but we knew there was something here, and we knew that there was an opportunity to really innovate in this area. And, you know, in fact, just a month or so ago, we were back at HR Tech, and we actually were awarded Best Product of the Year. So 2 years later, after just starting the company, you know, it seems like we're onto something here. You know, what I would say is really kind of driving, you know, our focus and what I think is a massive market opportunity, and what I think is really top of mind for any HR leader and even, you know, any executive in any medium to large enterprise is, you know, how do we drive more performance? How do we drive more engagement with our organization? How do we get people better aligned? How do we create a culture that's open and transparent so that we have this culture of trust? And how do we, you know, become much more agile as an organization? How do we, you know, it's not just about annual goal setting in
Right.
a kind of a very traditional cascaded kind of way. It's about being agile, responsive, dynamic, and, you know, we basically are building software to help facilitate a lot of those outcomes.
Great. Hey, Chris, thanks for that. Thanks for the context. Yeah, and I remember seeing you speak a couple of times when you were with Badgeville, you know, on many of those concepts. And so it's interesting how the evolution of what you're doing kind of has moved a little bit from what Badgeville was doing into this next phase at BetterWorks, which we want to talk about a little bit. And it's really timely, I think, as well, what's happening with what you guys are doing. And maybe you've you mentioned you won the one of the top products of the year awards. Is you're sort of striking a chord, right, with what's happening in organizations? Because one of the things we're seeing plenty of, and I read another article in HR Executive Online yesterday about this, is lots of organizations are moving away from quote unquote traditional performance management slash performance reviews, right? The whole, you know, 5-point scales, and you know, annual, you get a 3, 3.5, and that translates into, you know, a 4% raise and that kind of thing. And so, you know, Chris, is that why a tool like BetterWorks is really resonating? Because it's meeting that shift in the market from what organizations are trying to do with performance management?
So, you know, I would say that in a lot of these concepts are going to end up overlapping, right? Goals management, performance management, coaching and development. And so, you know, I think there's just a lot of interest in overhauling and updating how people think about these systems and processes in their companies. And I think, you know, from the research that we've done and the companies that we've spoken with, it seems really clear that the vast majority of companies over the next few years are going to abandon ratings and rankings as it relates to their traditional performance management process. I don't think that means that, you know, how they do evaluations necessarily, like the frequency of their evaluations or doing annual evaluations is going to go away. I think that still has to kind of, you know, stay in place, but maybe how they do it as it relates to ratings, rankings, and classifying people as kind of in a numeric scale, mm-hmm. and kind of the normal kind of, let's say, bell curve distributions, I think we're going to see that go away. And there's lots of reasons for it. It turns out that it actually ends up demotivating most of the workforce. And the unintended consequence of using these kinds of ratings and ranking systems actually has the opposite effect of what's actually trying to be, encouraged. And then I think the other thing is that people are looking for ways to drive way more conversations inside their enterprise, way more, you know, coaching opportunities, way more ways to kind of engage people and check in with them and see how they're doing. And they're looking at ways of kind of how to formalize that even, because mm-hmm. if you're just doing an annual performance review, I mean, we've seen with, like, you know, the millennials and kind of the, let's say, the modern worker, you know, some of their tenure at the company might only be for a year or two.
Right.
And you know, what that really means, by the way, is that, you know, if you're doing, you know, if the only engagement that you have with your employees is the annual performance review, it's almost like that's like the exit interview in some ways.
Right.
You know, on that cadence. And so, you know, and then, you know, if you ask people, you know, what's important to them, what really motivates them, it's not, you know, this kind of, you know, annual process. It's, you know, they want to know what's the big picture of the company. They want to know how their work matters. They want to know what's their purpose. They want to know how they're contributing and see that kind of work happening. They want to feel like there's growth and development opportunities. They want to feel like they're getting coached and getting feedback. Like, feedback is like the number one thing that people ask for. I'm not getting enough feedback. I'm not getting enough direction. And what we find is that the degree of adherence, or maybe how well managers do, you know, when it's not really kind of standardized or structured inside an organization, ends up being very, you know, it's just based on how great the manager is.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you have newer managers or up and coming managers, or just a kind of a huge variance on the quality of the management layer in the organization, then you're going to have, you know, huge variance on engagement and retention and business results.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the big thing here, is moving from annual thinking and traditional kind of, you know, infrequent processes to agile, responsive, frequent coaching, and, you know, even talking about goals and what's important and what are we working on and what we're focused on. I think that's the big shift that we see.
Hey, Chris, thanks for that. Thanks for setting some context for us. And again, this is the HR Happy Hour Show. My name's Steve Bowes. Trish McFarland, of course, is with us. Our guest today, Chris Duggan, CEO and co-founder of BetterWorks. And I mean, you know, Trish, you're the HR leader here. You tell me, is would it have been a tough sell when you were running HR, you know, in the big organizations, and you were doing it, to say, hey, you know, we're gonna sort of ditch performance reviews and do something else?
Well, I think this has been coming for a long time. I can even think back into the late 90s, where we were talking about not just the annual performance review, but starting to do, you know, at least a quarterly review in there as well. And so companies have been trying to get something going. We didn't necessarily have technology to make that mm-hmm. possible or very easy for us at the time. So I think that's definitely come a long way. I think the one hesitation I both hear from other HR people and personally, as I'm sort of listening here, is I love this idea of the ongoing feedback. I can absolutely understand how that's more motivating, and doing that and capturing that is much more valuable. But it's the doing away with the ratings. I kind of want to call BS on that a little bit, just because having been a leader myself of teams, even if you take a rating away from me, in my head, I know exactly where my team ranks compared to each other. So I think it's a little bit of built into human nature that we do rate and rank people, even if it's just in our own heads. So I guess my question would be, how do you sort of get rid of that, or do you? And to the second part would be, you know, it's fine if we don't want to give people ratings, maybe. But then what is the alternative, both when you're trying to explain to them how you're compensating them?
That's a good question.
Compared to the goals, if you have nothing to, you know, it was always a very systematic way that I could explain to someone if they came and said, I don't understand what my raise equates to. I could relate it to three or four things, maybe their sales, maybe their productivity, but then also their performance rating was one component. If you take that out, how do you sort of address it? And then the last thing I would say is, there's a big question in the minds of HR leaders around there are times even now where you have to do reductions in force. You have to have some mechanism to identify your bottom performers. And if you take away a rating, then what is the way that you're going to have legal grounds to sort of say, these are the people we've selected? So I know that's a lot, but so sort of the compensation, the riffs, and that would be my biggest question, mm-hmm. if I were the HR leader buying this.
Hey, so yeah, Chris, I'll throw that back to you. Let's talk about the compensation discussion first. Organizations that you work with that are moving towards this kind of ongoing, continuous kind of almost feedback-based process without that 3 or 4 or 5 rating, how do they work through these issues around compensation specifically?
So the first thing I would say is that these are difficult issues. These are not easy. Compensation, performance evaluation, and coaching and performance development, right? I mean, all of these things are, you know, I think traditionally, if we just say, oh, we do them annually, and we have a very kind of rigid and kind of traditional process of doing it, at least that you have a process. And now if you have to kind of think through, like, what's the real implications of how we're going to do compensation adjustment, and how are we going to know what's market, and how are we going to know that, are we really retaining our top performers? And
right.
I think all of those things are super, super difficult, you know, things to work through. What I would say is just, I guess, two things. The thing that we're focused on is the performance development aspect of this, which is, you know, if you, whatever you want to do around your performance management process, which is, you know, to us, the kind of performance evaluation and kind of that annual cycle, you know, do that in Workday or do that in Success Factors or, you know, whatever kind of, you know, HRIS system you want to use. What's really lacking here is kind of the piece that, you know, that we're focused on, which is the coaching, the one-on-ones, and the performance development, which is, are you really, you know, realizing your people's full potential, and do you have a system to kind of audit and track that these conversations are happening?
Mm-hmm.
As it relates to these other topics, I mean, I would actually, you know, defer to Trish and her expertise. I can share with you a personal experience with the rating system is, if you say it sounds like a good concept, you know, we're going to let the threes know that they're threes and so that they can be fours next year. And we're going to let the fours know that they really outperformed the threes, but they're still not fives. And we're going to let the fives know that, you know, we really value them as fives. It sounds like it makes common sense. What it turns out though is if you look at even like, let's just even forget performance for a second, but, you know, I read a study recently that said that 75% of people think that they're above average on looks.
Yeah.
75% of people think they're above average on looks. And, you know, we all know how many people think that they're great drivers.
Yes, I was going to say, that's the exact example I was thinking of. Everyone's a great driver, right? Everyone.
Yeah, and so here's what turns out when you do the 3, 4, 5. And by the way, I've implemented that system in the past, and I've been in companies where they've used these systems. And what you think is going to be the way to be explicit around how to, you know, maybe realize more potential actually turns into an entirely demotivating outcome, which is the threes thought they were fours, and so now they're, you know, upset and frustrated. The fours thought they were fives, and so now they're upset and frustrated. And the fives already knew that they were fives, so you didn't tell them anything new.
Right.
And so now you've actually demotivated 80% of your workforce just by assigning people a number. And the other thing that I think is really kind of incredible about this is because these systems are built on kind of the annual cadence, the hard conversations or the performance conversations or the coaching opportunities just don't happen. And it's all, you know, it's almost like if something happens in a performance review, let's say an annual performance review, an evaluation, if there's new information in that meeting that is a surprise to the individual, that to me is a major failure of, you know, the management, because those conversations should have been, you know, happening already. And if there are no surprises, if you say, oh, well, we have those conversations, and there's no surprises, well, then actually, then it just became an entirely administrative burden for the organization. Right. And, you know, where people spend like a week per year writing up these reviews and looking at emails from the entire year. And I don't know. So that to me, like, it's either not valuable because we should have been having those conversations earlier, or there's a signal here that, you know, something else is wrong. And so I think that's where, you know, with the companies that we talk to, and some of these are very high-tech companies,
sure,
like Google and Amazon and whatnot, but some of these are very traditional enterprises like Schneider Electric and Kroger and CVS and others. They're looking at ways of encouraging more frequent conversations and making sure that there's no surprises and turning their managers into coaches. And they believe that that's the key to kind of unlocking this kind of untapped potential in their workforce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Can I ask a question real quick? One of the things, Chris, that I found really interesting and fairly unique about BetterWorks is this idea around the alignment of the goals. And so while goals have always been set, you know, at whatever company I've worked for example, I think one of the things we would either sort of get dinged on in, whether it was engagement surveys or even exit interviews, was that the individual didn't really understand how their work necessarily related to and was valued compared to like the organizational goals, for example. Can you talk a little bit about the importance of alignment since that's built in here? I mean, I really liked it as I was going through it, seeing that little component, because I felt like that was really different.
Totally. And by the way, so I think there's major, just like we're talking about kind of performance management now is maybe turning into performance evaluation, which is the annual process, and then the performance development, which is kind of the ongoing coaching. I actually think equally innovative and interesting is the changes that are happening around how companies are thinking about goal setting. And I think actually you touched on one big one, and I think there's a couple of other items here. So I think the first thing that I'm seeing is companies are moving away from this annual process to one that's more frequent, because they just realize that, like, if you're in a dynamic competitive market, doing annual goals is like, it's just like a crazy concept. And an example of that is, like, think about how quickly these industries can be disrupted nowadays. You know, like, for example, Nest. You know, Nest totally disrupted Honeywell in a matter of like 18 months, right? And so if you're in a large enterprise today, if you're not thinking about kind of the innovation, the market, being dynamic, being competitive, you know, your business is at risk, no matter how large it is. Steve, did you have a comment on that?
No, I agree. I totally would agree. Like, the dynamics have changed so much that, much like the annual performance review, that point in time, look back over 12 months of an employee's efforts or contribution is sort of not going to cut it in today's environment. Much like what should this employee or all of our employees be working on doesn't really work if you only sit down and think about it once per year. It makes no sense as well. I totally agree.
Totally. So, okay, so that's the first shift. I think the second shift is that there's a big transformation going on from this concept of goals are private, kind of annual things, to we should be able to see what everybody's working on. I mean, we'll get to alignment in just a second, Trish, but just can I see what people think is important?
Yeah, visibility.
And,
right.
You know, I think like if in your work days and your success factors and your Taleos and your things like that, you know, that it was a very, you know, because it's an annual process, it's private, it's maybe usually tied to compensation, and it's considered a private matter. I think companies are realizing, wow, we need to be way more collaborative. We need to be way more open. People need to see how their work connects. And they need to see what the big picture is. They want to see what the division head is working, working on. They want to see what the CEO is working on. And, you know, when I look at companies that, we work with, obviously, you know, forward-leaning, innovative companies, but we also work with companies that are trying to change this perception inside their organization. And, you know, I'll look at some Glassdoor reviews, for example, right? Information is free nowadays. It's all on the internet. It flows freely. And you look on Glassdoor and you'll see some of the reviews for some of these companies will say things like, I don't even know if senior management has goals. And if they do, they haven't shared them with me.
Sure.
Yes.
Right. And that's not, you know, that's not, if you're talking about retaining your employees, that's not the right kind of tone to set when it comes to creating a culture of openness, transparency, and trust. So far we've talked about a shift from annual to quarterly, and we've talked about a shift from private to open and collaborative and, you know, kind of creating that environment. And then the third thing I would say that's really interesting and kind of what I'm excited about, and Trish mentioned this, is a shift from a very top-down, authoritative kind of approach to goal setting. And the term, everybody knows the term cascading. Cascading goals is kind of waterfall kind of process where goals kind of go to one level, then the next level, and it cascades perfectly. And some companies spend 3 or 4 months cascading. And by the way, by the time they finish the cascading, like, their goals are actually out of date, but they're like, oh my gosh, we spent so much time cascading it, we should just stick with these things until the end of the year. Or even worse, they'll say, just work on what you think is best, which is worse. But the shift, I think, is away from top-down cascading. That doesn't mean that everything's totally bottoms up. It means some things are going to be top-down. Right? The company still needs to set the strategy and what's, you know, declare what's important from a top-level standpoint. But many of the ideas and the how we're going to execute needs to come from the people. And that's what I would say is more of a bottoms up or even cross-functional alignment around goals. And so we'll start to see, and we're already, I mean, this is something we measure, and we measure with our clients very closely, is, you know, to what degree are they doing top-down versus bottoms-up versus sideways and cross-functional? And, you know, at the introduction, Steve, you mentioned goal science. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a term that we created and actually represents our body of research in kind of the data that we actually see when it comes to how people are setting and managing goals at scale inside these companies. And we're seeing really interesting data around, you know, goals that have more bottoms-up origination actually outperform goals that are assigned to people.
Interesting.
We see data that shows that goals that are cross-functionally aligned with, a peer in a different department outperform goals that are just siloed. And even goals that are public. So goals, just say public versus private. We see goals that are public in the company outperform those that are private. And these things make common sense. I mean, it's not mysterious.
Yeah.
But I would say that the systems that are in place in the vast majority of these corporate enterprises today are actually not doing a disservice to, you know, the business opportunity and the, you know, possible attainment, you know, not only of the company's business results, but actually at the individual level as well, because they're private, they're not frequent, and they're not empowering. And, you know, and I think that's kind of what really has to change here.
Yeah, and thanks, Chris. Let me do a quick reset. This is the HR Happy Hour Show. My name's Steve Bowes. Trish McFarlane, of course, is here. Chris Duggan, our guest, CEO and co-founder of BetterWorks, having a really fascinating conversation around sort of evolved performance management, goal setting, alignment, as well as just how people can develop and get better. And we could probably talk about this for another hour, Trish. This is really fascinating stuff, and I know we won't do that, but to me it's sort of like a really interesting combination of the two things. Trish, you talked about alignment. Chris talked about visibility as well. And to me, there's another element here I think is just really interesting, and I know BetterWorks is a leader in enabling organizations to do this, which is to just understand if we're actually working towards what we feel like our overall corporate goals are. What's our vision and mission, right? And often in siloed, private, annual kinds of processes that we've been talking about for a while, we're all used to, an organization's leaders might not actually know. They might be surprised at the end of the year or the end of the quarter when the sales growth doesn't materialize or the market share goals were not met. And they don't necessarily know we're all the right people working towards those objectives, right? Which this modern approach, as well as modern tools like BetterWorks, I think it's fair to say, right, they better enable an organization's leaders to understand that we're working towards the things we all want to be working towards.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, keep people focused, align and coordinate the organization, and, you know, drive results. I mean, that's what we're really talking about here. And I think that's actually one thing that I'm really excited about, is to see how the HR leadership can now be, I think, a truly strategic asset to the organization by initiating this conversation internally. And, you know, I don't think we should wait for the operational leaders to kind of start to say, you know, we need to kind of be more dynamic, more competitive, more responsive. I think it's the HR leadership can say, hey, you know what, we need to adapt. We need to transform. And, you know, we're going to, and these things are now, they're going to be very well received. In fact, I can think of a dozen examples in the last 3 or 6 months where the HR leader went into the CEO's office and said, you know, we need to think about, you know, moving from annual to quarterly. We need to shift from private to public. And we want to start having conversations, and we're going to really kind of tap into the potential of our workforce. And I can't think of a single situation where they were laughed out of the office. And it was like, it's about time. Let's do this.
Yeah. Right. I think having a tool like this, too, is also good for the HR teams in general, because it starts giving them that visibility into the business that we've really kind of been kept out of before. I mean, I've actually worked places where even if you went to finance or something like that and asked for the business results for your divisions you supported, for example, you would be turned away. So even being able to see the goals, not just for the people who are trying to reach those goals, but for the HR team as well, it's a good way to have a better business understanding of what your company does and how it makes money and why certain people are valuable, maybe more than others.
Yeah, that's a great point, Josh.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing I would just add is the data implications. You know, and we hear all this, big data, small data, 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 data. But, you know, what if you could now, because, you know, by the way, you know, either you're not doing this or you're trying to do this in PowerPoint or Excel or spreadsheets. You know, I know we're working with one company right now that does annual goal setting. They do 82,000 PowerPoints, 82,000. And I know another company that does 50,000 spreadsheets, 50,000 Excel documents.
I think I worked there.
Like, think about the implications of that. No reporting, no charting, no historicals, no connecting and aligning like we talked about. Everything's siloed. You can't find stuff. No learning for next time. And it's just like it seems like this is such a process that touches every company, and, you know, making that smarter and more data driven is going to have, like, you know, really profound implications. And here's how far we're taking it right now, and I think we're actually only just scratching the surface. But we already have clients that are we integrate with Workday for all the HR data, and then we're kind of the operational system where they do all their kind of goals and all that stuff. And what we see is that they can connect the execution data, the kind of operational data, with their HR data and look at, like, you know, which offices are, you know, achieving the business results for the company, which demographics of people are more achieving their business results. And, what are the connections between kind of what's happening on the people side with the actual execution side? And, you know, what if you could look at, you know, a report and say, like, these are the managers that are engaged in the company.
Yeah.
These are the departments that are engaged. These are the departments that are really stretching themselves. These are the departments that are overloaded with requests and are getting really tapped and kind of are under-resourced. That's the kind of stuff that, you know, this kind of data enables.
Yeah, and that's really the sweet spot, Chris. I mean, and that's And that's where HR leaders for a long time have always wanted to go, and quite frankly, have been limited by their sometimes a little bit limited by antiquated processes, but also limited by technology. And quite frankly, now the technology is getting so much more powerful and available, right? As we know, in the last 5 to 10 years, that these kinds of things, these kinds of transformational, strategic kinds of discussions that HR leaders can drive are really starting to happen. I think it's really exciting. I think, you know, it's really cool. I think you must feel, Chris, as a longtime, you know, founder, you know, entrepreneur, like hopefully you do. It seems to me like you've caught this on the upslope, right? You guys are leading the way on a trend that's just going to keep climbing and continuing to resonate inside organizations. I think this is just only going to get bigger and bigger, I think.
It really feels like that way. And I think that, you know, this isn't something that I think is kind of, you know, going to be around here for, you know, 2015 and then gone in next. You know, I think this is something that over the next 5 to 10 years it's going to become the way that we work. And, you know, I can think, actually, here's an example of, we received a support ticket a while back from, there was some end user in one of our larger enterprise clients that uses our product, and the support ticket said, "I think something's wrong with my permissions because I can see the CFO's goals." So what's interesting is, in this case, that end user hadn't even realized the potential of kind of like what the implications of this kind of transparency, you know, meant. But the other thing that I thought about when I saw that was, once you've kind of let the genie out of the bottle, you can't go back. Imagine like, oh, now we're not going to share anything. We don't trust you. You know, we're going to, you know, instead of like, you know, when we say like public and open and transparent, that sounds novel and kind of innovative. Imagine like in 3 years from now, it's kind of like the private model actually becomes secretive. Right. And so I think actually that's pretty interesting to think about.
Yeah, it definitely is. Hey Chris, we could probably talk about this for another hour, so we probably should wind it down. I think like I said, you guys are on sort of the cutting edge of where a lot of organizations are going. Read about it every day. You know, organizations big and small really rethinking the way they want to not just manage performance, because that's just an easy thing, right? Oh, let's get rid of the ratings. But it's deeper than that. It's more fundamentally profound in organizations, and it's really interesting and lots of opportunities for HR leaders, especially to be, as Trish said, right, to be leading in this area as opposed to be, you know, the performance police. So I think it's fascinating. So betterworks.com, right, for folks who want to learn more about the technology, and not just the technology, but the approach. I noticed there's loads of content on the site, Chris, about goal science, about OKRs, which we didn't even talk about. I wanted to talk about OKRs. We didn't even get to it. But just all
have
the
to do another show.
Yeah, I know we should. But all the philosophy and the research behind what, not only how this works, but why it works. And so there's loads of great content on the betterworks.com site. So Chris, this has been really fascinating. I mean, I appreciate you taking some time to talk to us and share some information about where performance and goals and development is going with the HR Happy Hour audience.
Wonderful. Thank you for your time.
All right. Hey, Chris, thanks so much. Hey, Trish, awesome. Great to have you back on the show, back from your world travels. We got to do this more often. I got a whole new setup here. By the way, I didn't talk about the top. A new microphone here. It's all very professional looking back here at HR Happy Hour.
That's
HQ.
Good.
Yes.
I'm glad to hear you finally did it.
Of course. After 6 years and 225 shows, I finally upgraded the.
And now you sound amazing.
Thank you.
Just think what will happen now. New technology, and you're going to just rise to new heights, right?
The pod is, in fact, before we wrap it up, the pod is blowing up, Trish, as you know. I toot our own horn, but thanks everybody for listening and sharing the show and tweeting it out and all this. But the pod's been doing great this year. And a couple quick things. Trish, did you know HR Happy Hour has its own Twitter account? Did you know that?
I do know that.
It's at HR Happy Hour on Twitter. And did you know this recently, I think this week or yesterday even, the HR Happy Hour Twitter account passed 20,000 followers on Twitter.
Now that I did not know, so that's wonderful.
Isn't that
very
pretty
good.
Cool? So you can follow us there. All the show information gets tweeted out on HR Happy Hour, plus other stuff that we write, stuff that we contribute to, stuff that we're up to. Last thing, Trish, I know you're into this. I know I am because I wrote about it today. Did you know our friends at Pantone released their color of the year for 2016? Did you know that?
No. What is it? I haven't heard. I have to know.
Okay. So last year, of course, 2015 was Marsala, as we recall. Right.
That's sort of. I liked it.
Yeah.
Still like the year before. Radiant Orchid was still a good one.
That was one of your favorites. I know. I liked it too. This year, Pantone is.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Can
go
I
ahead.
Guess?
You can.
Is it some shade of orange?
It is not.
It's not. See, I was thinking they might go orange this year. Okay, well, what is it?
So they went out of the box. Pantone went out of the box this year for 2016 and have actually two colors of the year.
Ooh, okay.
The first one's called Serenity, which is kind of a...
Is it a blue?
It's a light blue, yeah. It's a
kind okay. And the, sounds and, like it would be blue.
And the other is called Rose Quartz. Rose
really?
Quartz, which is sort of a pink. So it's sort of a blue and a pink, and they have some interesting reasons why they named those two colors this year. I wrote about it on the blog today as well, but anyway, so
okay.
Serenity,
I'll read and find out.
Serenity and Rose Quartz, so blue and pink for 2016. So that's the...
Wow, see, now those are two colors I don't wear, so that doesn't help me at all.
Well, Trish, you better start
I like.
Thinking about wearing those colors in 2016.
Oh my goodness, okay, I'll have to add them. Yep.
Hey, this was super fun. We probably should wind it down. Chris Duggan from Better Works, thanks so much for being on the show. Trish, great to talk to you. And we've got more shows coming up actually before the end of the year, probably at least two more. So keep following HR Happy Hour on Twitter, hrhappyhour.net. Thanks to our sponsors, Equifax Workforce Solutions, of course, for all their great support this year in 2015. Anything else, Trish, you want to mention before we wind it down for the day?
My last comment would be that people just need to watch for the HR Evolution announcement. We have already announced that we're intending on holding it in Cleveland, and that will be on June 4th. And so we have a team of people on the ground right now looking at locations, scouting them out, and I'm supposed to hear back by the end of the calendar year. So stay tuned for more information, and tickets should go on sale early in 2016.
Awesome. Look forward to HR Evolution, of course, in Cleveland. And all right, great. Well, that's it. Great show. Enjoyed it. And we'll see everyone next time.
Thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour Show, your source for information and conversation on work, the workplace, technology, and more. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net.